Certainly is good to see this number out once again this Sunday evening. We take this time every week to come together and to assemble and to once again study a portion of God's Word and hope to encourage one another. It's a long week in front of us, and we need the strength that we can gather one from another in assembly such as this. And the singing of such songs that we just did is really something that is to encourage us and will help us through the week. We want to announce that Mark and Lana Anspach, who have been attending here for a number of weeks now, have decided and desired to place membership with the congregation here at Knollwood, and we are glad to have them in our number. I suppose we ought to make them stand up, and if you would, back there, or just raise your hand, let everybody know where you are. Okay, there you are back there. Recognize those hands later on. You may not see their face, but you can recognize the hands. We're glad to have them with us and working with us in this area. For the time that we have together this evening, we want to discuss the subject of dancing. This will be something that is on the mind of a lot of people at this time of the year because as high school seniors and juniors and others are preparing themselves to go to the prom, that dancing is one of the things and one of those activities in this particular thing that they're going to. And they're spending a lot of money for the dresses or the suits or the means of transportation to get them to and from those things. And so all the high school juniors and seniors and others are thinking about this. And what we want to do is simply ask the question, should a Christian dance? Should one who is a child of God engage in this modern dance that we see many times on television? I don't know if you see it in person. I don't have any personal contact with those that are dancing, and any contact that I do have is with whenever I'm flipping through the television and I see them dancing there. Should a Christian, should someone who is a child of God, be engaged in such an activity as that? Now, I realize that most of the people in the world are not going to agree with the things that I have to say. And I believe it's unfortunate there are going to be some who are Christians who are not going to agree with the things that I have to say this evening. But I apologize not for what I have to preach and what's found in the Word of God. For we all ought to do that which is pleasing in God's sight. I think we need to define the terms or define what we're talking about when we begin a lesson such as this. And should a Christian dance? And what is a Christian? And we're not talking about what the world defines as a Christian, because that would be anyone, they would say, who believed in Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. You don't have to prove anything. All you have to do is say, I'm a Christian. And people are supposed to accept that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, again, that's the way that the world would look at it. But that's not the definition concerning or about this word as we find it in the Word of God. A Christian is one who obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who belongs unto Jesus Christ. For he or she has been bought with a price, and that is the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who is a new creature. He's put to death the old man of sin, and now he is a new creature in the sight of God, having fellowship and having those blessings found in Jesus Christ. A Christian is one, as we read in Romans 12, 1 and 2 this morning, who is giving his life as a living sacrifice unto God, that he is not conformed to the world. He's not trying to be like the world. That's a way we might describe someone who is a Christian, someone who is a child of God. And when we define the word dance, and I know that there are all kind of different dances that people engage in, but basically what the word dance means is to move the body in rhythm to music. Used to be especially the feet. The feet were the things that moved with rhythm to the music. But as we know, this is something that dancing now engages all parts of the body. And so we're talking about the modern dance. That can a Christian engage in that kind of activity? Question then is basic. It is something that is very simple. Can a person engage in dancing and still be acceptable in the sight of God? And in looking at this, we're going to strive to answer other questions concerning this. Concerning the study about dance, is it something that is consistent with the principles of purity that is demanded by Jesus Christ of those who are his followers? Is it classified as being a fruit of the Spirit? Or can we say it is going to be something that would be a work of the flesh? Does it draw us nearer and closer unto God? Or is it something that drives us away, that puts a barrier between us and God? Does it bring us and others unto Christ? Or does it hinder them and us from coming to him. Can a Christian dance? Or I guess we should say, should a Christian engage in this activity? As we look through to the Bible, we find that there are dances that are performed in the Word of God. And as we go back to the Old Testament, we find several good examples of dancing as a means of religious expression. In Exodus, the 15th chapter and verse 20, we find the children of Israel, after they have come through the Red Sea, and God has saved them, they've passed through on dry ground, and they have seen that the walls of water of the Red Sea have then fallen down, and they have killed and destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. It says in Exodus, the 15th chapter, verse 20, that Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and with dances. So this was an expression of joy for these individuals. They had been delivered by God from this awful enemy that they had faced, and by the mighty hand of God, they were able to escape. And as an expression of joy, they went out dancing. This was an expression of their joy and their rejoicing. In Judges, the 11th chapter, verse 34, we find in the case of Jephthah, the vow that he had made, and what happened when he came back from destroying the Ammonites, that his daughter came out, and one of the things that she did was that she expressed her joy and deliverance in this dance that she was doing. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14, after the Ark of the Covenant had been recaptured by the children, or retaken by the children of Israel, after it had been into the hands of the Philistines, that they were bringing it back to the city of Jerusalem. And David the king was out there with that cart, bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, and he was dancing before that. An expression here of religious or expression of joy before God for what he has done. But we also notice that dance in the Bible is connected with sinful activities as well. It is connected with that which is, we might say, religious, that which we would say is a joy, expression of joy, but is also connected with sinful activities. And so apparently there is a difference in what we're talking about here. At Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19, we find that Moses, the children of Israel, had thought Moses was delaying on the mountain. They didn't know when he was going to come back down. So they had persuaded Aaron to make for them a golden calf. And they were going about worshiping this calf, and they were dancing before it. They were worshiping this idol. And an expression of their worship to them, to it, was that of dancing. So it was connected in worship of an idol as well. Over in the New Testament, we find in the case of the daughter of Herodias, in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 6, that as she danced before Herod and others, it made the statement there that she pleased him. That she pleased him in such a way, or to the degree that he was willing to give unto her up to half of his kingdom. And so this, I believe, as we can see, was not something done in a religious way, but it was something that aroused the passions and the desires of those men that were there, and especially to the king, to the point of where he was willing to give unto her half of his kingdom. We find other cases in both the Old and the New Testament of where this particular thing was done, that people did dance in connection with a religious way, and others, again, as an expression of their joy for deliverance that God had given unto them. But in all of these cases, we find that they happened under the law of Moses. And under the law of Moses, they were permitted to do many things that we are not to do today. And so as we turn to the pages and the commandments of the New Testament, we find that such is not commanded of us today. And we do not have an example of these kind of things in relationship to our worship unto God, that we dance before him as they did under the Old Testament, that we do not have the authority for that. Now, I know that we have some in our society today who express their joy to God in dance. Not too many of them, I know, but there are those that do that. They will dance before God as an expression of their joy, as of their worship unto him. But once again, we do not have any kind of authority from the Word of God to express ourselves in that way. We're told if we are happy to sing, and we know that that is right, that we can do those kind of things. But the modern dance, as we look at it, we would ask the question as we examine the things that were done in the Bible concerning dance, Is the modern dance something that is religious in its religiously oriented? Do we think of that? Do we think that someone is worshiping God, that they're expressing their joy for deliverance or for the things that they possess when they dance before God? Are they giving praise and honor and glory unto God? I think as we examine the modern dance, one of the things that we can very easily conclude is this, that all traces of religious significance have been lost, that people don't do that anymore. The people, when they dance, it is not for a religious expression, but it is something that is maybe the opposite of that. And so we ask the question, why then, if it's not done in relationship to religion, if it's not an expression of joy, of praise unto God, and we're not authorized to do that, then why do people dance? Why is it that there are those, and many people engage in this activity? Why is it that they go about and they dance? Well, one of the reasons that is given as to why people dance is that it's just a very pleasant way to exercise. And certainly, I don't think we could argue with that it would be a very pleasant way to exercise. And as we have seen some of the modern dances, you'll probably get a whole lot of exercise in doing those things, even more than walking or some of the other things. So it is, and it might be a pleasant way. And so this is offered as a reason why people dance. We also hear that it helps develop an individual in the grace and the poise that they have. And it also helps them socially to be accepted by everybody else. After all, everybody else is engaging in this, and I want to be a part of the society in which I live. And so therefore, it's a means of bringing me closer to others, of opening doors and avenues to others that I might meet them so that I can be socially acceptable. And certainly that's true. That's the reason that many people give for wanting to dance. And others will say, well, it's just plain fun. I enjoy doing that. It's good exercise. I enjoy being with people. I enjoy moving my body to the rhythm of the music. And it's just fun. And there is apparently no harm that is done by this dance, by engaging in these things. And so these are some of the reasons that people give as to why they dance. Again, it's not connected with anything religiously. It's not connected with their praise and their honor and their glory or expression of thanksgiving unto God. It is something that they just simply like to do. If these reasons can be accepted by an individual that is a child of God, or really by anybody, why is it that we do not find those who are of the same sex dancing together? Now, I know that in our day and age, we will find some who do that. We do find those individuals. But we begin to think other things concerning them. Why is it that if it's just simply fun to do, that it gives me grace and poise, and I'm socially acceptable, why is it that we do not find the same sexes dancing together? If those are the reasons, if they're accepted, why not? Only in rare occasions do we find that this will happen. As I said, we begin to question the motives when we find boys dancing with boys and men dancing with men and girls and women dancing with one another. We find only on rare occasions, again, that this is done, and primarily it is done only because the members of the opposite sex are not present. We would think it odd if same sexes danced together. We would again question as to whether they were homosexual in their orientation, we might say, and in the way that they believe. But the greater desire that people have is to dance with members of the opposite sex. Again, you don't find very many men wanting to dance with men. You don't find very many women wanting to dance with women. It's just the opposite of that. The men want to dance with the women. The boys want to dance with the girls. The girls want to dance with the boys. Why is that? I think the answer is found simply in this, that the appeal of the modern dance has its foundation in the human passion and in the human desires that are aroused in the dance. Dancing with the same sex does not have that appeal. It does not arouse that same kind of of a desire within the person that dancing with a member of the opposite sex has. This is even recognized by those in the world in history and also in the world today that we would classify as being heathen or pagan. Those individuals that might worship many gods, not the one true God of heaven, that might fall down before idols and worship idols, they recognize this fact about the dance, that it has its appeal and it has its foundation in the human desires. That if a woman wants to arouse the passions and the desires of a man, she could find not much a better way to do that than to dance with him or to dance before him. That this is the basis, this is the foundation why it appeals to so many people. That it arouses these emotions within people. Now I realize not everyone who participates in dancing is aware of the basic reasons why he or she enjoys it so much. And herein lies the real danger. Herein lies the real danger of dancing and being one with, being close to the member of the opposite sex and to dancing around in the movements of the body as they do one in front of the other. Herein lies the danger. Because if an individual is not aware of what it does to themselves, if they're not aware of what it does to the member of the opposite sex that they are dancing with or dancing before, then they're not likely going to be able to control that desire once it is aroused. You know, they're not aware of it. And it might be new to them. You know, this is true among those who are younger. Those who are beginning to develop these desires and the attraction between the opposite sexes. And when they arouse this new in themselves, they're not able to control it as well. And so therein lies a danger for those particular individuals. For the individual who is aware of what it does to himself or herself and to the partner, and they still engage in that, we begin to wonder and question their honesty. We begin to wonder why they are doing that. If they know that this is something that is arousing the other partner, that is bringing forth these desires because of what they are doing, why would they be doing that? We would question that. There would be danger in that. We would also find that if the individual is aware and makes such statements as, well, I know what it's doing to myself and I know what it's doing to my partner, but I don't really care. I'm going to do these things anyway. Then we would question. We would realize that there is real danger in that because there is a door that is being opened by this individual to himself and to herself or to the others of greater temptations and doing those things that are wrong. Herein, again, lies the danger. Herein lies the real appeal of dancing. And that is, it has its foundation in human passion, of expressing that passion one toward the other in this dance that they are doing. And you know, it matters not the location of the dance. It might be in the privacy of an individual's home. It might be in the school, the high school gym, or somewhere else where a party is being chaperoned by many adults. It doesn't matter. Because you see, you cannot chaperone thoughts. You cannot chaperone desires. You may be there and you may have your activities looked after. You may make sure, or other adults may make sure, that things don't get out of hand. But you cannot chaperone thoughts. You cannot chaperone those desires that are aroused because of the modern dance. The dangers are still there, and the dangers must be faced. You know, when I've talked to others about this particular subject, they've always protested, and usually it's the women, those who are girls, who will protest and say, well, you know, I don't have those kind of thoughts. Those kind of thoughts just don't arrive in my mind. They don't come up in my mind when I am dancing with a member of the opposite sex. And so therefore, this is an excuse, this is a justification for them to go ahead and continue what they're doing. They don't have those kind of thoughts. But I would ask you, what about the person that you are dancing with? What about that male partner that you are dancing with? Are you sure that he is not having the kind of thoughts that would be impure? Did you, by your actions, by the things that you are doing, cause those kind of thoughts to come into his mind, and again, it could be for the women also, to come into her mind? Did by the things that you do cause that to come up? And then when I say that, they're all saying, well, I'm not responsible for their thoughts. I'm not responsible for the thoughts of what other people have. Well, we are responsible for thoughts of others. We are responsible by the way that we dress, by the way that we act. We can be very much responsible for how another individual thinks, for the thoughts that come into their mind. And as a result of that, we have to bear part of that responsibility. And if my dancing with my partner brings that kind of thoughts into his or her mind, then I've got to bear part of that responsibility. Again, the foundation, the appeal for the modern dance is that of human passion and human desires, of the opposite sex dancing one with another. And so we have to answer this kind of question when we think to ourselves, can I, should I, as a child of God, participate in this particular activity? Dancing, as we said in the very beginning, what is it? Does it fall into the category of a work of the flesh? Or is it something that is the fruit of the Spirit? And you know, I think if we can boil it down to that simple those two simple categories, and we can put it in one or we can put it in the other, it'll go a long way to answering our question, can I participate in that particular thing? To help us decide where it falls, we want to give some definitions to some biblical words. And defining these, maybe we can decide where the modern dance falls. Is it a fruit of the Spirit, or is it a work of the flesh? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, we find the works of the flesh and we find the fruits of the Spirit as they are listed there. And under one of the works of the flesh, we find the word lascivious noted there. That this is one of the works of the flesh, lasciviousness. Now that word lasciviousness, as it is described by Webster and as is defined by Webster, simply means to be wanton, lewd, lustful, tending to produce lewd emotions. And we have synonyms of that, licentious and lecherous. These are words that are connected with that. And I think each and every one of us understand what this means. We're not talking about a good word here, are we? We're not talking about something that we want to be engaged in as children of God. That work that would be lascivious. That work that would be lewd and lustful. Yet I think we can see that in the modern dance, that these are some of the thoughts that are produced in our mind and in the minds of others. Thayer defines this same word as meaning indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. Now once again, I don't have very much personal contact with those that are dancing. And the only contact I have is that when I'm flipping through the television and I notice some that are dancing. And if this does not describe here the modern dance, then I don't know what does. That of indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. Now I realize that all dances do not include the very seductive bodily movements, but there are a lot of them that do. And those that are very popular, and those that everybody wants to do, they follow that kind of pattern, that of being lascivious. Even the slow dance has its appeal in the sexual desires one between the other because of the close proximity of the body and the holding of the body. There is still that appeal between the opposite sex. And once again, as we said before, if an individual wanted to produce lewd thoughts, there's hardly a better way than to dance with someone or dance before someone in this way. Galatians 5, again. One of those words that is mentioned as a work of the flesh is the word reveling. And this simply means a lack of restraint and self-control, emotional excitement, boisterous, loud, and noisy. And again, that pretty much describes many of the modern dances that we see people engaged in. That it is a throwing off of all restraint. All self-control is just kind of tossed out the window. And you can do anything that you want to do. This may, again, not describe every form of dancing, but it describes most. And being noisy and loud. This also describes many of the places where that this dancing goes on. We also, in an examination of this particular activity and determining whether a child of God can engage in it, we also want to look at the fruits of dancing. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 16 and 17, Christ made the statement, he's talking about individuals there, by their fruits you shall know them. By the fruits that an individual produces, we can know whether they're acceptable in the sight of God or not. Well, we can take that same principle and apply it to an activity. And if that activity produces fruits that are good, then we know we can participate in it. We should do that. But if it produces fruits and it accompanies those things that are bad, then maybe we ought to stay away from it. What kind of people attend these dances? Now, again, we might say, well, not, you know, some of the dances are very nice. They're very held in very nice places. And even the most, you know, the most acceptable people in society attend these particular things. And that may be true. But we also find those who are associated with it who are really sometimes the most base of people. Are the people that attend some of these dances and engage in some of these questionable activities that's found in these dances, are they the same ones that we find sitting in church Sunday morning? Are they the ones that are generally there every time the doors are open? Generally speaking, they are not. But we find associated with this evil company, obscene language, drinking, and perhaps even drugs. We know that barriers and restraints and self-control are abandoned many times where this dancing and the modern dance is found. And you know, things are allowed to be done with music that would not be allowed to be done without music. And I'm sure you've heard of the story of where the father came home one afternoon and he saw his daughter and a young man at a distance going through all kind of body motions and gyrations, and he was so upset until he got close enough to hear the music. And then he said, oh, they're dancing. He was ready to stop them for what they were doing, but until he heard the music going on. And so he said, then that was acceptable. And that's the way people think. It is something that destroys our influence as well. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. We are to be the light of the world and the salt of this earth. But I am convinced that dancing is something that puts a stumbling block before others. It puts a stumbling block before them when they see us engaged in that kind of an activity. We also find that a good name that we have built up and a reputation is something that can be damaged by an association with dancing. You know, people make the objection, again, I've heard it and I know that you have also, and that is by people who want to engage in dance, and that is, well, people don't think any less of me when I do that. They don't think any less of me when I engage in dance. This ought to let us know something. That if they think of us just as they think of everybody else in the world, then we've lost the battle already. Because we as Christians are to be better. We as Christians are to be better than people who are in the world. We are different. And when we're lumped into the same category as people in the world, then you can count on it. Our influence is hurt. It's damaged. This dancing, is it a work of the flesh or is it a fruit of the Spirit? Now, where would you place it? Where would you place it? Would it be something that a Christian ought to be engaged in, or should it be something that a Christian ought to shun and stay away from? We find that the Spirit is the thing that is to rule. As Christians, we are to sever ourselves from sin. We're not to be engaged in the works of the flesh. And Paul there in Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21, not only does he give a list, but then he says, and such like. they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruits of the Spirit, though, are listed there. And I believe a clear line is drawn between what the Christian can do and what he cannot do. The basic problem with some is that they find it hard, or see that it's trying to establish that anything is wrong with dancing. The problem is that they don't have so much an inability to recognize the evil in dance. I believe that most would say that. What they have is an inability to appreciate the purity of life that a child of God is supposed to live. The purity of life that we ought to be about, that which we ought to pursue, that's what they do not appreciate. That's what they do not have an ability to recognize. Christians, being a Christian does not give us license. Our being a child of God does not make the evil that we do good. It does not excuse us from the ultimate results of that which is wrong. But you know, a lot of people have that concept. That they say, we're Christians, and therefore if we engage in it, it's not wrong. That's a way that they excuse mixed swimming. That's a way that they excuse immodest apparel. That, oh, we're engaging in that, and we're Christians, and that makes it okay. And they do the same thing with dancing. Nothing is more damaging to Christ than to see a Christian doing what even the world knows that a Christian ought not to do. And it's a tragedy to think sometimes that the world has a higher concept of Christianity than Christians do. But that's the way that it is. The world has a higher concept. They set a higher standard for us, and it's one that's found in the Bible, than we set for ourselves. Each one of us must examine our own heart. And if you don't dance, good. I'm convinced that the Bible condemns it. If you have questions about it, then what should you do? You should not engage in it because you have questions about it. But ask yourself these questions when next you're faced with a temptation. Does the dance incite me to unlawful thoughts and desires? Does it provoke such thoughts in the mind of my partner? Does the dance serve to arouse emotions that were intended by God to be aroused only in the marriage relationship? Does the dance serve as a stepping stone to baser things? Does it increase the respect which good people have for me? Does participating in it increase my love for God? Does it make me delight more in the reading of the Bible? Does it lead me to pray more to God? Does it increase my zeal for the spread of the Lord's church? And can I honestly say that the dance helps me to be a better Christian? Well, somebody might object and say, well, you know, there's not all those activities that I want to engage in are going to do those things. Not those last things that we read about my increasing my love for God or delight in reading more of the Bible, but as we ask the first part of that list of questions, does it bring these kind of unlawful and sinful thoughts into my mind? And if we can answer yes, then what do you think we ought to do? You think we ought to engage in it or not? I think the conclusion is inescapable, that if we're going to please God, I've got to consider dancing as the modern dance as I see it, as a work of the flesh. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that ought to adorn my life as a child of God. It is something that I should strive to stay away from and avoid in my life. As I said, some of you are not going to agree with the things that I have to say. I know that people in the world are not. And I know that some Christians also will not. They'll not agree with these things. But I believe it's something that's found in the Word of God. It's something that's found and something we ought to avoid in our life. Strive to have that purity of life that God wants His children to have. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, you have not begun yet that purity of life. What God wants you to do is He wants you to have faith in Him. Express that faith in repentance and confession and in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, there's an invitation that is extended to you. We hope that you would answer in the affirmative. Won't you answer yes as we stand and sing the song?